He's telling us, pointing to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, go back where it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Well, as far as we're concerned, this is they're referencing when he was about to give his life. Well, before the cross. He says, for the joy that was set before him. Well, what is the joy in getting ready to hang and be beaten to death? Here's the thing we got to understand. That beating was his present circumstances. He says, for the joy that was set before him is seated at the right hand of God. He said, forget about what's going on right here and the beating and all that. Again, remember we talked about last week to see afar off. Jesus was way down there sitting at the cross. While everybody, they beating him, he just, I'm down here. The problem with us is we get stuck right here. And today, right now, it's not happening right now, and we won't be able to, we don't look down the road. And he's telling us, he says, looking unto Jesus, look at what he did, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, all the way down the road, endured the cross, despised the shame. And then the end result was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what he was focusing on, being seated at the right hand of God. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I've given you a spoken word. I've given you a confirming word. The enemy is going to come, and everything that he's doing is designed to do one thing, to weary you and to make you faint in your mind. The reason why, he's trying to get you to go back. He's trying to get you to go back. I got to get you to go back. If I don't get you to go back, you're going to realize something. And I'm going to, Verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I would never put you in a situation where you're going to have to go through so much until you're going to bleed as a result of it. You might feel a tinge of it, but I bled. One time. Nobody else going to have to do that. Amen? I already did it for you. Now look. Turn to Luke chapter 8. This was the part I wanted to get to. All that had to set up for this. Now, look what happens when you get a word from the Lord. Everybody need to be there. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We're going to pick up there. Man, I've looked at this time and time again. God showed me some stuff. Verse 22, this is so exciting because this is really good for us to know. Watch. Look, now it came to pass on a certain day that when he went into a ship with his disciples, he said, this is Jesus. I don't need confirmation on nothing Jesus said. Amen. That's Jesus. We good. All right? Some thought that came through my mind, I'm going to get some confirmation on to make sure it's Jesus. But we have Jesus here. He said, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. That was the spoken word. Let us go forward to the going across to this lake. Amen? We good there, right? And they heard it, and they launched forth. Same as you, same as me. You get a confirmed word from God, and he tells you to go over to the other side of the lake. Whatever God is telling you to do is to go over to the other side of that lake. Amen? Whatever he's spoken to you, whatever it is, he's telling you to go ahead over there. All right? And you launch forward. You go ahead and do it. Because that's how we do. We had that confirmation, and he said, do it, so I'm going to bounce. I'm going to go. Now, when you start going, you got to understand that the enemy is like, I got to throw a monkey wrench in this. I got to stop them from getting to the other side of that lake. I cannot let you get to the other side of that lake. So, listen, remember now, we already know the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and we already know it's going to prosper, and we know that word prosper means it's going to push forward. But he's just ignorant. The enemy's ignorant. He's going to keep trying. I mean, that's his job. You know, that's his job. His job is to just try to, kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. But Jesus said, my job is that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen? Now watch this. Look. Verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Who fell asleep? Jesus fell asleep, right? And while he was asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Uh-oh. That's my mother said. My mother just said, uh-oh. Yep, uh-oh. He fell asleep. See, this is what we think or feel when we don't hear from Jesus while we're going through the storms of life. We feel like he fell asleep on us. We feel like he's not there. Amen? Look, this is far from the truth. Jesus has not fallen asleep on us. Amen? The word tells us in Joshua 1 and 9, look up here. He says, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you're going, God is with you. Every step of the way. Now, here's the issue. It's this time in your life where you don't feel like he's there. It's this time in your life where you feel like he's falling asleep at the wheel and nobody's there with you and that you're by yourself. Man, oh man, y'all ready to be blessed? He gave me that. Ooh. Look, the storm is designed to get you to give up ever making across that lake. That's the design of the storm. It's designed to get you to back down and not go across this lake. In the midst of the storm, it feels as though Jesus is asleep. Jesus in this situation is giving us direction on what we should do in the midst of our storm. We need to do the same thing Jesus was doing. Jesus wasn't asleep. Jesus was down there taking a rest. He was down there resting. They were going across the lake. And Jesus said, in the midst of going across this lake, let me go and get me some rest. And while he was down there resting, he slept. He was resting. He was giving us the answer of what we should be doing in the midst of our storm. See, we always get in there and start to fix things. We trying to anchor the boat down. We trying to throw things off to steady the boat. We trying to get water off the boat. We doing all this work. And Jesus said, all you need to do is rest. Be still. Rest. I'm going to prove it to you. Hold your fingers there and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to prove it to you. He showed me this the other day. I said, oh my gosh, he's giving us the answer of what we do when we find ourselves in the storms of life. All we have to do is rest. Look, I couldn't wait to get here to share this. The enemy wants you to go back and give up. There's a reason for this. He doesn't want you to get to the other side of the lake. Hold, wait till we get there. Listen. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want you to come short of entering into my rest. And most of us are doing that. We're spending all our time working, trying to fix the problem, and we're falling short of entering into his rest. Look, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word, God's word, his word that he preached did not profit them. The thing that I told you that I was going to do in your life did not profit you. Why? Because it's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You didn't mix the faith with it. You have to see it down there. But our word wasn't mixed with faith. The thing that I told you, I spoke, I gave you a confirming word, but we didn't mix it with the faith. Look. Verse 3. For we which have believed what? The word. Do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, I already did it. I already got you over the lake. Look, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. We have to enter in. Listen. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. We don't believe that he can do what he said he was going to do on the spoken word that I've given you that had confirmation that the gates of hell can't prevail against. We still stuck. We're messing it up. There are many mighty works that he did not do because of their unbelief. Again, verse 7, he limited for certain days, saying in David, today, he's talking to somebody, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you hear the word that I'm speaking to you, harden not your heart. Look, this was going to bless you. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to who? The people of God. That's us. There remaineth in the midst of your storm a rest for us. Rest means not worrying. We can't rest and worry at the same time. You can do one or the other. Either you're going to rest or you're going to worry. You can't do both. You can't worry. That was with R. Or you can't rest. Amen? Look at verse 10. For he, listen to this, here's the key. For he that is entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works as God did from his. You want to know whether or not you entered into his rest? If you're working, you're not resting. If the boat is sinking and you're working to try to get the water off the boat, guess what? You're not resting. You're working. If you're still doing the work, you're not resting. You're trying to figure out how the plan is going to come to the pass. You're not working. You're not resting. You're working. None of my business how you're going to get me from A to Z. All I know is I'm going to get across this lake. The enemy's job is to try to stop you from getting across the lake. Why? Because he already knows what's on the other side. Listen, look. Look at verse 11. Let us labor. Look, labor. Let us work. You're going to do some work. Look what he's saying. He says, labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You want to work? Work at resting. Every time you feel like you're going to work, stop working and rest. Like, oh, I want it. Oh, no. Mm-mm. If you're going to do any work, work or not working. Go to work tomorrow and work or not working. Okay, maybe don't do it at your job. You got to work at your job. But with your problems in life, the storms, that ugly boss that's being mean and nasty to you, all of these things that's going on that's just trying to hurt you and harm you, all of that stuff, rest from that. That person that's trying to hold you from getting to where you need to go, rest. Rest. Labor to enter into his rest. Listen, lest any man fall after the same example of what? See, when you're working, you're saying truly, I don't believe that you can handle this, God. Every step I do in trying to fix it, I'm saying you can't handle it. That's really all I'm saying. When I start worrying, I'm worrying because I don't think you're going to handle the problem. When I worry, I'm saying, God, this is too big for you, so I need to worry about this. That's why he said, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Amen? Why am I worrying about it? I need, look, all of that stuff that's going on, that's on me, I just take it off. He said, lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. It beset us. It stops us. See, the weight is designed to sit you down, to get you to stop moving. See, if I give you all of this weight, it's hard to move forward. You can't move forward with all that weight on you because you spend all your time worrying about it. So that's why he says, look, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, as long as I'm trying to carry it, I can't move forward. But Jesus says, give it to me because I already conquered it. But the enemy don't want you to do that. Enemy wants you to walk around with this big old heavy podium on your back, and then you get too tired. And what do when you get tired? Remember when Iron preached that message? And he said, that good man, remember what he did? He sat down by that tree. He sat down. He was too tired. He fainted from all his hard work. Rather than being in a scenario where you give all that stuff to God and let God handle it, you're in a better situation. But you got to know there's a reason why the enemy doesn't want you to rest. There's a reason why. I'm going to show you. We got to go back. Turn back to Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 24. Oh, boy. I'm about finished right here. Look. This right here is the part that he got me on. Ooh, boy. I've been waiting all weekend long to talk to y'all about this part right here. He showed me this, I think, on Thursday. And normally I pick up the phone and call people and tell them because I can't hold it. It's just so good. Only call one person. And I ain't called him till yesterday. I held it all the way up until yesterday. But here we go. Y'all ready? Look at verse 24. This is getting ready to bless us all. There's a reason why the enemy does not want you to go across that lake. Listen to this. Look at this. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, remember, Jesus was sleeping. He was resting, right? He down there resting. And they came and woke him up. Master, Master, we perish. They already fainted in their minds based on what they said. They believed the lie that the enemy sent them, just like we do. We perish. We perish. We just spoke that mess out of our mouth. We perish. And Jesus is like, hold on, dude. He's saying the same thing to you. Hold. Because listen, y'all riding with me. You riding with me. Y'all ain't going to perish because I ain't going to perish. That's why you good. You good because I'm good. When you driving down the street, but I'm on that motorcycle, Jesus on the motorcycle with me, I'm good. I ain't tripping. Car jump over in the lane, we good, Jesus. Well, I'm glad you caught that. Glad you saw it, boy. You good. Matter of fact, forget it. Let me get on the back. And you just drive. Jesus, we good. Really? He said, man, y'all, they jumping up. We perish. Look what he said. Then he arose. He ain't even talking to them. He gets up and rebukes the wind. He rebuked them. He rebuked the wind. Look, and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. What he's saying is the minute you bring the issue that the enemy throws in your way off of my spoken word, I'll calm it down for you. All you got to do is rest and tell me about it. He gets up. Can you imagine? I mean, it's them days that just want to be there. We on the boat. It's called Jesus, we perish. Look, the storm. You see the storm. Oh, Jesus. I mean, come on, we better go somewhere else. Y'all better stop playing. I go, Jesus. That's how your problem do. The minute you snitch on a spoken word, God, he's getting in the way of what you told me. That you already spoke over my life. All I got to do is snitch. If I snitch, he get the stitches. Listen, all I got to do is tell. And as soon as I tell, God is going to get him. He goes and rebuke them. He ain't rebuke me. The only issue he had with me is this one right here in verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? What he's saying is, why in the world are you letting these storms in the world get to you when I've already spoke something over your life? Why are you letting this thing bother you? Are you kidding me? Where's your faith? You're supposed to be seeing this thing afar off. I don't care about what's going on. The only reason why something that's going on in our lives can bother us is because we took our eyes off the prize and put it on the situation that's in front of us. The minute I get my eyes off the situation, I don't care how you're going to get me over here. It ain't my business on how I'm going to get on the other side of this lake. What I do know is you're going to take me over the other side of this lake. Amen? He ain't tell me how to start the church. He ain't tell me nothing about what to do. All he did was say, start it. So I went down Baltimore and started it. Ain't have one chair. Ain't have a mic. Didn't have none of that. See, what we want to do is start it after he's put all the chairs in place. And the people. See, so we want all of that, and then I'll go down here and I'll go and start the church. Doesn't work that way. It's going to require you to have some faith to see the people sitting in the chair. It's going to require you to have some faith to see that the reception desk is gone down there. Look down where you see the little ugly covered carpet down there. That's where the reception desk was. You have to be able to see that gone. You got to see this conference room area gone. You got to see the doors off of here gone. You got to see it all removed. And when you see it, then you can move forward. But before you see, if you don't see it, you messed up. The enemy is trying to stop you from getting to the other side of the lake. Here's the reason why. He says, and they afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? And he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. The winds and the waters of our lives will obey God. Those storms will obey God. They have to move when God say move. Amen? Now, here's the reason why. Verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. That's the other side, right? So while I'm studying, God dropped in my spirit. He says, look up that word Gadarenes. I look up the word Gadarenes in the Greek. Do you know what that word mean in the Greek? Hold on to something. You can't script this no better. The word Gadarenes in the Greek means reward at the end. Do you believe? You mean to tell me this word? I looked at it, I said, what? That word means reward at the end. They arrived at the reward at the end. That's what the reason why the enemy don't want you to get across this lake. Because if you go ahead and go on this spoken word, there's a reward for you at the end of it. That's what it was. What? Reward at the end. I have to do everything in my power to stop you from getting across here. Because when you get across here, there's a reward at the end for you. I said, what? The place that they arrived at after all of the storms was calmed in my life. After all this stuff that I went through. At the end of this thing is a reward at the end. A reward at the end. This is the reward at the end of the spoken word. After I got the spoken word, then I was told, no, you shouldn't start a church. You should stay here for another 3 to 4 years. After you told me to launch forth, now comes the enemy to try to stop what God told you to do. I said, okay, God, what's going on? He said, you better go and do what I told you to do. I said, but God, you know, I don't like confusion and you don't either. So I need you to tell me what to do. So I went to a church that nobody knew me. The pastor don't know me. No one knows me at all here. And the man get the preaching. He said, God has told you to do something. He said, God has told somebody in here to do something, and you need to move forward on what you need to do. I said, well, God, that's cool. You driving down my street, but I'm going to need you to turn in my driveway. Because that's cool, but that's not enough. Then the man says, there's no reason for you to sit nowhere another 3 to 4 years waiting on nothing. Okay, all right, well, and God said to me, he said, now, is that enough? I said, I'm good now. One of the things that was wrong with Carlina was like, I don't even feel like I'm ready to be a first lady. I said, well, now you got to deal with her. And the man said, God ain't concerned about you feeling ready for nothing. I said, to go. I said, did you hear that? Now, this is one of them quiet churches. They're one of them quiet churches. I'm sitting in the quiet church like this. I want to get up. Ah, yes, we out of here. Yeah, oh, my God. Because I have a confirmed word that's set on a firm foundation that the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Confirmation for us on a word from God, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He will try to stop you. Why? Because there's a reward at the end. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining Trinity Christian Ministries worship service. We invite you to join us from 10 a.m. to noon every Sunday for our worship service. Bible study begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday evening. Our address is 5847 Allentown Road, Camp Springs, Maryland. We are near Andrews Air Force Base. Our phone number is 301-374-9626. That's 301-374-9626. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.tcm-md.org. That's www.tcm-md.org. Thank you for joining us. May our Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.